blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Episode number 41. Today is our independent wrestling preview. We'll be talking about independent wrestling and its effects on the professional wrestling industry in general, plus a lot more other things about independent professional wrestling. We'll be talking to Brookwood 4B4W star TLD. He'll be on the line with us. He's our usual co-host, but tonight he is in full hype mode for what could possibly be the final match of his wrestling career coming up soon at Brookwood 4 Wrestling. But, you know, pro wrestlers, when they say they're going to retire, they never really hold true to that word. So we'll see what TLD's future holds. We also want to say, you know, big rest in peace goes out to and our condolences to the family and friends of the late Matt Bourne, who is best known as playing Doink the Clown, the original Doink the Clown, not one of the 50 to 100 guys who go around the country playing Doink the Clown. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's why I played intro music as a little bit of a reminder and remembrance of Doink the Clown. For ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is a sponsor of this show all the time. There are some new articles up, and we want your comments. Please go over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and check out the comments section. Log in using Twitter, log in using Facebook, and use that discuss comments section. Get the conversation going at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. That is the website that keeps this show going, keeps the show on the air, keeps it live, keeps us having a good time each and every week right here on BlogTalkRadio.com. We're also looking for more writers. We need quality writers. It's always quality over quantity. We want you to join our team. If you think you have what it takes to be a writer on a professional wrestling website, please email me at ProWrestlingPowerhouse@gmail.com. Email me why you want to be a part of the team. Give me a sample writing. Show me that you're interested in joining Team PWP. We need some quality, fun members for our team-oriented atmosphere. Give us a follow on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse, on Facebook, at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, and always use that hashtag on Twitter, hashtag PWPRadio. Helping us pay the bills, as always, is our Amazon store. You can simply go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, all right? Go there, click on any article, give it a read. At the bottom of the article, there are a couple of links. You'll see the wrestling DVDs. Click one of those links. When you click that link, it'll take you to Amazon.com, but you're going through our website. The bonus is, whatever you buy, whether it's that DVD initially or anything else on the site, we get a small percentage of it to keep this show free and fun for everyone. So if you're making any kind of online purchase, please head over to the Amazon store at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. If you want a direct link to whatever it is that you're buying, just let me know. I'll provide that for you. So help us pay the bills. Go over to the Amazon store at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I'm going to start bringing in some of our co-hosts tonight. I'm going to start out with the star of the show. Usually I'm the star. I'm not the type of guy to put myself over. I'm not the type of guy to kind of like just do everything for myself. I'm not a me guy. I just really am not. But this guy definitely is, and he is my co-host going into what may be his final wrestling match of his career. He is none other than Tommy Lee Danger. You know him as TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm cuddly, I'm cute, I'm a champion. know what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Buy everything, Dennis. I'm TLD.
TLD, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. It's been a very long journey, but yeah, so it's nerves are starting to kick in for the final show. But yeah, I'm feeling good tonight after a really crappy Raw, but I'm really happy to be here tonight and talk a little pro wrestling, a little independent wrestling, because I got some personal views on independent pro wrestling as well. So let's get talking.
Yeah, everybody does. Everybody's got their own views on independent professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know, whether you're a fan of it or you aren't, it's got a place and it's got a big niche in the world of wrestling. That's for sure.
Indeed. In fact, it's what we need. It's where the breed of everybody is born for pro wrestling. You, independent wrestling is where it starts.
It's literally the territories basically all over again on a smaller scale. It's like the territories were kind of before Vince McMahon took over the entire thing in the 80s. But we'll talk about all that tonight. I'm also going to bring in my other regular co-host. He's my main man, Toph. Toph, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. We're going to talk some indie professional wrestling today, and we're going to share our thoughts, maybe some great moments from Doink the Clown's run in WWE. And we're just going to free flow tonight. We're going to have a fun conversation. We're not going to really talk about Raw or TNA, really, unless somebody who calls in wants to talk about that. So if you want to call in, the call-in line is 760-888-5749. Call us up, talk to us, bullshit with us, do whatever it is you want to do. Now, I just wanted to start off real quick, and you guys don't have to respond to this at all, but I just want to let you guys know I saw something very disturbing just a couple moments ago on Facebook. I was searching through my Facebook wall and everything, and I saw this link to this this horrible, horrible video where this police officer out in somewhere in California, I think it was Hawthorne, California, arrested some guy for obstruction of justice. He was filming the police officers on his cell phone camera. So what this guy did is he put his dog in the car, put his hands behind his back, got arrested. The dog was a Rottweiler, jumped out of the car, was not attacking these police officers. But these police officers decided to repeatedly shoot this dog in the head with their guns. And this isn't a political show at all. This is pro wrestling. We're here to have a good time. But I just want to say this on the air live. I want to say, fuck that police officer. Somebody please put a bullet in that guy's head. Please. He deserves to lose his job. He just deserves to be put down for life like he did to that poor dog. That was not in attack mode. I am shook from this video. I literally watched it less than an hour ago, and I'm still kind of shook up from it. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that. Nobody needs to respond. And we're going on with the show, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, on the air. Now, independent professional wrestling is something that we all know. Some of us don't necessarily love it, but there's no question that a majority of the big stars come from independent pro wrestling. I can personally say that just a couple of years ago, I watched Austin Aries, and I was videotaping this show as a part of Pro Wrestling Respect, which was the sister company of Ring of Honor at the time. And I watched Austin Aries wrestle Delirious on the show in front of about maybe 100 people, if that. I don't even think there were that many people in the building, but now Austin Aries is on Impact every week. So I'm going to kick it to TLD first. TLD, you're from the world of independent professional wrestling. What are your thoughts on independent professional wrestling in America as a whole?
Well, do you want to talk about it from a wrestling perspective or a business perspective?
Whatever you want, my man.
Well, from a wrestling perspective, you have to realize when, you know, and I realize, I didn't want to go into professional wrestling thinking I was going to make a career out of it. I kind of did it as a dream of mine, and I got a very lucky opportunity to do it where if I would have went anywhere else, I probably never would have been accepted as a pro wrestler. But the way I was brought up with B4W, Brooklyn 4 Wrestling, I got very lucky to be honored to get that opportunity, the chance I got. And it's hard. You know, think about it. I mean, the idea of pro wrestling, it is fun, but you got to make a living from it, too. You know, you can't just be, you know, doing $25 a week. You have to have, like, a full-time job just to support yourself. And the one thing about getting into pro wrestling, and I learned this, it's very political. And that's something that's just going to be with any job you go to. But it's very political, especially if you want a certain character or you know, your direction of your where you're going in the business. But also is that you have to realize that if you are looking to become a pro wrestler,
TLD, are you there? TLD. Who was lost TLD? So, same question. Your thoughts on independent professional wrestling as a whole in the United States of America?
Well, the deaths of WCW and ECW really, really hurt the indie scene in the area that I live in. There was a lot of them, I remember, when I was a kid, so I can't say I know as much about them. But, you know, we all got to start somewhere. You know, you got to work indies and work your way up and then eventually get caught up to the big leagues and stuff. Although, I guess FCW and NXT, would that really count? Because they're kind of developmentals. Would they really count as indies at this point?
I personally believe that OVW, NXT are, you know, since they're developmental territories, they kind of work like independent wrestling companies. They work those small venues. They travel to the little areas. So in a way, it kind of is, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it is since big corporations are running them. Just like I wouldn't really say anymore that Ring of Honor, although they act like an independent a lot of the time, I wouldn't consider them an independent wrestling organization anymore because they're owned by a big broadcasting corporation.
You know, I think the thing that I've all say about indie wrestling, particularly like I probably say like in my high school years going into early college, is I've noticed that over the years that MTV, every now and then, you know, they'll have like an indie wrestling show. Have you noticed that? You know, it's like every 4 or 5 years. Like, I remember they had a Wrestling Society X a while back. I used to watch that sometimes. Then about 3 years ago, they had Lucha Libre USA, and it was really cool. Sometimes they had a six-sided ring. Sometimes it was an eight-sided ring. Sometimes it was a four-sided ring. There's a guy by the name of T.J. Perkins that was actually using the gimmick that Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter are using now, though some would say JBL used it first. But,
well,
you know,
well,
I mean.
That's hold on. Let me just correct you real quick. That's R.J. Brewer, not T.J. Perkins.
R.J. Brewer, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said T.J. Perkins. My bad. R.J. Brewer, right. He was the only I remember he was the only guy in Lucha Libre that did not wear a mask, and he felt that, you know, they should go back over the border and that masks were disrespectful. And it was like a combination of JBL's heel persona with Douglas Williams, and, you know, anti-X Division high-flying style. It was really good heel stuff. I felt like if he had been, like, in a big company years earlier, he would have, you know, drawn really big heat. But I think indie wrestling in general is needed. You know, we wouldn't have guys like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Austin Aries, and so many others. We need them. So,
absolutely. And independent wrestling takes a blow whenever one of these big names on that scene moves up to the big leagues, whether it's TNA or WWE, because they're just not available as much anymore. Now, some of the TNA guys are still able to go out and work the independents because they're just simply not making enough money to just work for TNA. You know, a lot of these guys, like I was just at my local pizzeria today, and I saw a poster and it had Robbie E on it. You know, Robbie's face was on this poster. He's a Jersey guy, but he's wrestling this local promotion. It's going to be him and Boss Mahoney are the two big draws. Now, Robbie E, we saw him on Impact in the middle of the ring last week. So it's kind of funny how some of these guys that are names on TV still have to work the independents. I know for years I was around here in Jersey, Jerry Lawler would come around. You would think that this guy, who's been on Raw as the voice of Raw for all these years and is one of the most successful wrestlers of all time, you wouldn't think he's got to work independent wrestling organizations, but that just shows he's got a passion for the business. Now, I'm going to bring TLD back in for him to finish his thoughts. I'm not really sure what happened to TLD, but you're back in the show, TLD. What's up, man?
Yeah, you hear me? Everything's good?
I hear you now.
All right. Well, you know, a lot. It's so true that we need independent wrestling to keep wrestling going. I mean, imagine if we kept us going, looking for bodybuilders and football players. You know, it wouldn't probably be too much fun. You know, independent wrestling is desperately needed, but it's also a fan's job to not only just watch a WWE product, but they got to go support these shows. You know, but it all depends, I guess, on the quality and the product of what they're putting on. You know, and that really what it comes down to is that, you know, you don't want to go to a show and not be entertained for the last, you know, 10 hours. I can remember one show specifically where I went to see Ken Anderson because I knew if I don't go see him now, I'm probably not going to see him up here ever again based on the fact that he just got signed with TNA. So I was only went for that show, but the whole show was terrible. You know, there wasn't really anybody on it, and it just wasn't fun. And, you know, I'd rather just not have spent the money, but I went for Mr. Anderson, where you go to a show now,
okay, I'm missing a blank here. The show PWS, where we just went to Pro Wrestling Syndicate, you know, where they make it more of a convention, but also they appease every fan at every level, where they have a convention for the older fans, and then they have the wrestling for the newer fans, but everyone comes together, and it's a fun show. You know, that's what is needed, is something like what PWS is doing, you know, to get that draw, to get that fan base there, and that's what they're doing very good at. You know, hopefully they continue that. You know, but as far as the business side, you know, if you ever think about starting up as an independent pro wrestling company, you need to have a financial backer. I mean, that's just like an important thing. And make sure you do it to make money. Try not to do it for fun. I know that that's something we do now. You know, Broken Four kind of does that now, you know, for fun. And that's all we meant it to be. We didn't want it to make money. You know, but if you're trying to get in the business to make money, you know, you got to do it the right way, and that's the important thing. And it's good for everybody. It's good for the fans, and it's good for the talent who are trying to get themselves out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You see a lot of these companies, they just kind of pop up and do one show or something, then they disappear forever. Some of these promoters, there's a real dark side to independent professional wrestling as well. I don't know how many times I read stories about promoters skipping town with all the money. They'll take, like, all the money from the vending or something, or all the ticket money, and they'll put up they'll book the show, they'll have the wrestlers there, and they'll just leave with the money and not pay anybody. That stuff actually happens out there.
I've seen that happen too. I've actually seen that happen, and it's terrible. Not to mention the other way around, the wrestlers that screw the bookers. You know, talk about that alone too. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I specifically remember a story about Davey Richards a while back, where he strong-armed a booker to pay him money when he wasn't going to perform on the show. And the promoter did it, because if not, Davey Richards would have kicked the shit out of him, and this guy didn't want to get his ass kicked, and really can't blame him. But everybody knows, who knows me, that I don't really like Davey Richards. I think he is a scumbag. But we're going to go to the line real quick, and I'm going to bring in Jordan from Winnipeg, Canada. Jordan, you're on the air with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's up, man?
What's up? This is the owner of WrestlingWorld247.com, Jordan Garber. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, man, and thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to pose the same question to you. The significance of independent professional wrestling, what are your thoughts on that?
I might be young, I might be 17, but I've gone to a lot of shows here in Winnipeg, and I've seen the dark side, I've seen the politics before, and, you know, sadly enough, I've been in the middle of them. But the thing is about independent wrestling is you can't really focus on the dark side much, because it has those good moments, and I focus on the good moments about independent wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. There are good moments. There are actually great moments. Will, you and I recently went to Pro Wrestling Syndicate over WrestleMania weekend, and that was proof positive on how an independent wrestling organization can do things the absolute right way. I've been to those shows numerous times here in Jersey, and these guys know what they're doing. They bring in different type of people, different stars, to kind of draw the same crowd in every single time they do a show. And they're not necessarily monthly, sometimes every other month, every 2 or 3 months, but when they do it, they give you something different every time, whether they bring in John Morrison 1 month and it's a fight, Juice and Liger of all people. They do all kinds of dream matches and stuff. And they also have an all-women's promotion. And that's something that I want to talk about, too, before we get into the B4W talk in the next half hour. I want to talk about all-women promotions. They're out there now. They're something that really didn't exist, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
They're doing it in Japan a lot, too.
Yeah, absolutely. They're popping up in Japan, these Joshi girls. They're going all out. And some of those girls come over here and they wrestle the women in America, and they put on some fantastic matches. But I'm going to pose
a
question.
It's not the fashion show crap. It's not the fashion show crap. That you're actually seeing real, real wrestling talent, which I really appreciate as a fan and an interviewer.
Absolutely. It's a niche thing, this women wrestling thing. I'm not a huge fan of women professional wrestling. I'm really not personally, but I understand the people that love it. I would rather see a hot broad with big boobs bouncing up and down on my TV. That's what I want to see. But that's just me. Maybe I'm a sexist bitch. I don't really care, but that's me. That's how I roll with that. But I'm going to kick it to Toph real quick. Toph, there's a lot of these independent women wrestling organizations popping up, whether it's Shimmer or Shine or whatever it may be. TWS has one called Bombshells Ladies of Wrestling, Blow, as they like to call it. And these promotions are pumping out girls, and these girls are moving up to Ring of Honor, moving to TNA, moving to WWE. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on women, all-woman professional wrestling organizations.
On paper, it just sounds unusual, especially to most male fans that pretty much want to see what you just described earlier. But there's a small minority of fans out there that do want to see, you know, actual, legitimate, genuine women's wrestling. And we've seen in the past that it can work, more so in TNA. We've seen glimpses of it in WWE in the past. Notable examples that come off the top of my head right now is I always remember when Gail Kim and Awesome Kong main evented an Impact, and they had like a really great match. That was literally unheard of. Another example, Lita and Trish Stratus, I believe they main evented a Raw once. Another example was, I think when they did the January 4th show, Raw versus Impact, I remember it was Awesome Kong and Hamada in a tag team match against Sarita and Taylor Wilde, and it was actually a very decent tag team females match. And most recently, we had Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell in that incredible last knockout standing match. So it's possible to have an all-female wrestling organization. It's just, you know, the problem is that when female talents when they've been booked a certain way consistently, not just in WWE, not just in TNA, when they've been booked as piss breaks for so many years, and when they are just kind of put on this pedestal of just fan service, it's really, really hard for casual and hardcore fans to see them as anything else. You know, it's kind of like a video game company keeps making mistakes, and they finally make a good decision, and no one takes them seriously. So, you know, they exist, but it's definitely going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, they almost have to retrain the audience to care about women's wrestling again. I personally, I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't mind it when they have good matches. They're entertaining. I don't mind watching them, but like I said, I'm the typical male fan. I want to see what I want to see with women, and that's about it. But I've seen some of these shows, like Shimmer and Shine and whatnot, and they draw crowds. There's a niche audience out there that loves it. There's a guy who used to work for the website, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. His name's Pat Ketza from Chicago. He's a huge women's wrestling fan. That's all he would write about on the website is women's wrestling. It was a passion for him, and it still is. He loves it to death, and there are a lot of those hardcore fans that do. TLD, what are your thoughts on the ladies in professional wrestling kind of having their own promotion?
You know, I think it's tough. It's a tough sell. It really is. I mean, I personally probably would never go to a women's wrestling show just because I just have a hard time trying to work my wrap around it, how it could be a very entertaining show. I'm sure there's great wrestling in it, and I think I would just, you know, I can't really judge it because I've never really been to one, you know, but it's just that today's wrestling, with women especially, it's not really promoted right, and it just doesn't make it as fun to go to, because if you see what's on TV, it doesn't necessarily make you excited to go to a pro wrestling show with all women, you know, so it's kind of tough.
You know what's the weirdest thing about women's wrestling?
Go for it.
In Japan, like, they have a promotion, and they're trained, obviously. There's these 12-year-old girls that are trained to wrestle. Like, these are 12-year-old women's wrestlers. Like, that's incredible.
Absolutely. It's almost weird that women who are 12 years old, young girls, can actually wrestle in Japan. I've seen some pictures of them wrestling with different male counterparts. You know, it's just weird stuff. But here in America, these promotions are popping up, and these girls are getting some real experience. A lot of people are talking about this girl, Paige, who's wrestling at NXT. She's the daughter of Saraya Knight, who is an independent professional wrestling mainstay. And apparently she's got has a lot of steam behind her. People love her, and they can't wait for her to get called up to the main roster. She's the first ever NXT Divas Champion, and she's got a lot of build up behind her, so people are pretty excited for her to make her way up to the big leagues, so to speak. We're going to talk about Brookwood 4 Wrestling, and that's the company that TLD works for. TLD is going to have his final match. He's going to say goodbye to the pro wrestling company, and we're going to do some promoting for that. But before we do that, I would like to talk a little bit about Doink the Clown. We're kind of free-flowing it tonight. We're going to go back and forth on some topics, and we just lost Matt Bourne, sadly. So I guess they said it was a drug overdose, something along those lines. These pro wrestlers keep falling off the face of the earth for the same reason over and over and over again. It's just really sad. And he's the original Doink the Clown. He's the guy that made the gimmick what it is today. And there are so many guys out there that just keep portraying Doink on the independent scene. I know Ray Apollo is one of them. I saw him standing in a corner at PWS a few months ago, dressed up as Doink, just standing there. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody's going over there taking pictures with him because they know he's not the real guy. But we lost Matt Bourne. Not only was Doink the Clown, but he was a seasoned professional wrestler. This guy worked in world-class championship wrestling for years. This guy wrestled the likes of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at WrestleMania 1. Just some amazing moments he had in his career. He wrestled in WCW for a while, even had a little run in ECW after the whole Doink the Clown thing fell through. So he has passed away, and I just want to talk a little bit about Doink the Clown, some of our favorite memories of Doink, and I'll start off with Toph, man. Toph, what's your favorite memory of Doink the Clown?
I love Doink, but for whatever reason, it seems like a common fear of kids is clowns. WWF only came here once when I was a kid, and I remember Doink and Owen were like in the opening dark match. I think they fought Tatanka and Lex Luger. It's been a while. I know it was Owen and Doink, though, but I thought Doink was cool, and I was cheering for Doink, and my dad was like, he's the bad guy, and I was like, I don't care, because I used to read Batman stuff all the time, and I liked the Joker, but I liked Doink. He was cool. I used to play as him all the time on that WrestleMania arcade game. Anybody that remembers that, I liked that game. I don't care what anybody says. It was awesome. Who cares? It was a Mortal Kombat clone. Still awesome. But, yeah, Doink was cool. I loved his crowd control. I loved how he would point at himself, and the crowd would cheer. Then he could just point at his opponent, and they would boo. Just simple stuff. You don't really see stuff like that anymore. So, you know, I'll miss Doink. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was great. He was the type of guy who was such a hated heel when he first came in. Some of those tactics he used would just really be over with the crowd. They loved to have interactions with Doink. He would literally spray fans in the face with that little flower on him and stuff. And I remember he had a great match with Macho Man Randy Savage that is on one of the Raw compilation DVDs. Just a fantastic wrestling match. It was probably Doink's best match in the entire run in WWE. But when he became a babyface and was feuding with Bam Bam Bigelow, introduced Dink into the whole scenario, and then Luna Vachon was involved with Bam Bam, that was just a great touch to the entire Doink the Clown character. He provided so many great moments in WWE while he was around. They used the Doink gimmick over. I remember Chris Jericho, during his build at WrestleMania 17, dressed up as Doink and attacked William Regal on one episode of Raw. I thought that was pretty cool. But TLD, man, your favorite memories of Doink the Clown?
I got to tell you, when Doink, the whole build-up with him and Crush was a really great feud. And I really thought that Crush was going to kill him at WrestleMania 9. And then you see Doink pull out the double vision. It was just hilarious. That was just like a hated character that you just had, you know, it was just so great doing when he did the double Doinks. And then he had the match with Bret Hart at SummerSlam where Jerry Lawler didn't want to fight him, so he brought in his court jester. That was really a nice little touch to that storyline. But to me, when he started doing all the comedy stuff with Bam Bam, that's when I really enjoyed him the most. I think it was so funny how he had that one Survivor Series match and he didn't even show up. And then on top of it, with him and Jerry Lawler, they had a few too with all the Wink Dink and all the midget wrestlers. That match was one of the funniest Survivor Series matches I've ever seen. It's one of my favorite ones. I watch it all the time. When it was all the midgets against Jerry Lawler and then Doink, it was just really good. Really good combat stuff. I do miss him. It's going to be hard for people to go around now if you're going to be a big Doink the Clown.
knowing that the real one passed away. And a lot of people knew, like, even people come up to me that, you know, Doink the Clown passed away, you know. People remember Doink. I remember his figure when it came out. The little Hasbro figures came out. Boy, that was one of the hardest figures to get.
Yeah, he was overly popular. People loved him. How about you, Jordan? What are your thoughts on Doink the Clown passing away? Favorite memories or moments?
You know what? There are so many memories. Some the ones that are going to say were related to yours. But when he turned heel, he was such a good heel, and he got such a good fan reaction. It just came to show that he always did his job right.
Well, yeah, he came in as a heel. He started out as a heel in WWE, that evil clown. That was hot at the time. There was that movie, I think it was called It, something along those lines, with evil clowns and stuff. And it was just a hot gimmick. It made sense for what the WWE was doing at the time. It was one of their best gimmicks. Now, I know people have poked fun at it many times before because it became cheesy and corny, but that's what it should have done. That's the way you turn somebody babyface, especially in that new generation era when that's the kind of route that WWE was going. Now, we're going to get into that B4W talk. We're going to talk to TLD about his career and some history behind Brookwood 4 Wrestling. But before we do that, we got to pay the bills. So go over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Click around the website a little bit, you know, show your support, browse around, buy something from our Amazon store. Come here to blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. We have all our episodes on demand. You can go back and listen to great interviews with guys like John Morrison, Kevin Matthews, who is always outspoken. Speaking of independent wrestling, that guy's one of the most outspoken guys on the entire scene. We've interviewed Nigel McGuinness, Tugboat, just so many guys. The list goes on and on. So go check out those interviews. We've had a year worth of shows just about, and SummerSlam will actually be our year anniversary. So check it out, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, on demand at blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Now I'm going to bring in the owner of Brookwood 4 Wrestling. Thanks for holding, man. Ryan is on the line. Ryan, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty damn good, man. We want to know how you're doing. You're going into a big show coming up for your company, B4W. Tell us a little bit about what to expect this coming up, July 13th.
Basically, B4W is a little bit different than your average indie federation. Basically, it's all my friends pretty much put together. And we're just doing the show for fun. I think TLD, as you guys call him, we actually call him Fluff. Mentioned it before, you know, I've never been involved in wrestling to make money. In fact, I could probably buy a house with all the money I've lost doing it. It's always been a hobby for me. Even to make money on it would actually kind of soil it for me. So it's a little bit different. It's basically, it's a show for us, by us, and it's basically family and friends, and anybody who comes out always has a great time, and you're guaranteed to have a great time if you stop by.
I love the FUBU reference there, man. Tell us a little bit about the history of Brookwood 4 Wrestling. Give us a little bit of the backstory on how it became what it is today.
Sure. It started out, it was myself and about three other guys. Like most kids, we just wanted to wrestle. So we started doing that. We basically did it anywhere we could. Moved around from one person's house to another house to another house. And then eventually we ended up getting on public access television. A couple years later, there was actually an indie company in New Jersey who actually saw the show. And at first they were kind of offended by it, as most indie wrestlers are with anything they see that's not professional. So they ended up contacting me directly and said, you know, if you guys want to do this, why don't you do it the right way and train? So myself and one of the other guys actually went, and we went for about 2 years while we were still going to high school, and we just kind of made the trip up there 3 times a week, just got our asses kicked pretty much every week. And then, you know, we would just come back and continue doing the show because we always enjoyed it. So we were able to sort of live a double life for a while between the doing high school and then, you know, indie wrestling and then our own show on the weekends. So it was kind of a cool time for us, and that was around 2003. And then, you know, as time goes on, people tend to drift apart, and throughout the years, you know, there was times where we wouldn't wrestle, and then we would all tend to always get back together. And we decided in 2010 that we were going to do one final run, and we weren't going to set a time limit or anything on it, but We wanted to do one big push, one big run with all the guys and get them all back together. And everybody was on board for it, and we've had just an amazing run. And now we're at that point where people are having babies and getting married and, you know, moving on with their lives as people do. So we decided that we're going to end it. We're going to end it big time on July 13th in Morganville. And we hope everybody comes out to see it because it's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. See, I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to do my best to make it there in Morganville on July 13th to watch my good friend TLD compete in what could be his final match. Now, Ryan, we all know TLD as this over-the-top character, but how do you know TLD? Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Mr. TLD.
Well, we were gearing up to do our show on public access, and we needed more people. So, as you call him, TLD, it was actually a gimmick I had, and I used to have a notebook full of gimmicks, and one of them happened to be TLD. And I explained it to him, like, hey, you know, you're going to be this character, Tommy Lee Danger. And he didn't like it. He didn't like the name. And I was like, you can wear yellow. And he wasn't crazy about it. Once I just told him, maybe we'll just call you TLD by the initials, he was sort of on board. And he came to our first show, and he's been with us pretty much ever since then. That was in 2002. He actually came to our first show. He brought a barbed wire bat, not realizing that... it wasn't actually barbed wire, it was chicken wire, and he was holding it by the chicken wire and totally making it look fake the entire time.
Okay, TLD, tell us a little bit about that.
That's basically how it went down. We knew each other from high school before I actually got involved, because we ended up being in the same class, and we got along very well, obviously, because when you're a wrestling fan, you tend to get along pretty well with each other. And at one point, you know, he told me about, you know, Brooklyn 4 Wrestling, and I was all on board. And at the time, I didn't really have a car, so he had to kind of pick me up because he was old enough to drive and I wasn't. So right in the beginning. So this is back, yeah, and we were 16, 17 here when we started this. And I came in the first time, did not have a gimmick, and was given a TLD thing, and I went along with it. And I tried to be creative, which clearly was not creative. And I brought in a barbed wire bat, wrapped up chicken wire, called it barbed wire. And like you said, I was holding it, which kind of no-sold the holding of the barbed wire. And that's how it kind of got started. And, you know, I was going into Brooklyn Pro Wrestling with really knowing only one person, and that was Ryan. I did not know anybody else, but everyone else knew each other. So I was kind of a big outcast. I had to kind of gain the respect from those guys because everyone was already friends beforehand, and I just did not know anybody except for, like, one or two people. So it was rough in the beginning for me, at least, getting involved and trying to get, you know, try to become friends with these guys who I've never met until now. So that was a rough start, at least for me.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like, you know, the whole beginning of this was just kind of a work in progress with friends, and that's the way it should be when you're dealing with kind of like what starts as a backyard type promotion. But what has happened, it seems, with B4W is that it went from the backyard to actual venues. You guys got your shit together, learned what your craft was, and now it's coming to an end. Tell us a little bit, Ryan, about what to expect on July 13th.
Well, basically, my big thing, and when we started this in 2010, I've been calling it the final run. My big issue was getting everybody some type of closure with their character. So in 5 years, when we're looking at these DVDs or whatever it is at that time, watching this stuff on YouTube or whatever, we're not looking back and saying, oh, I wish we had done this. I wish we had done this. We've tried to do everything that we wanted to do in these last couple years. We actually were able to do an Iron Man, which is something we always talked about. And there was just a bunch of different goals we had set for ourselves, and we were basically able to hit all of them, with the exception of a couple, and those will happen actually on July 13th, and I won't give them away for anybody. That sort of defeats the purpose of pro wrestling, but there's going to be a lot of big things that go down on July 13th, and I think people, even if they haven't followed us, will certainly want to go back and check out the other shows to see where this all came from after seeing it on July 13th.
Awesome. Now on the line, I've got one of TLD's arch nemesis. Now, not in the pro wrestling ring necessarily, but he is TLD's arch nemesis outside the ring. Will Brooks is on the line. Will, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on? And you know what? If Will wanted me in the ring, I'd kick his fucking ass. So that's okay.
Cool.
Any response to that, Will?
Yeah, please sign the contract.
For real, about the Will, anytime you want.
We need to book this.
We do. I'm all game. I'll get the MMA gloves. We'll get in the cage. We can do this.
Now, by the way, one thing, by the way, not only is it, I'm not just talking about myself being, this is like my last show, it's a lot of the guys in B4W2 that, you know, we're all coming to an end here. So besides it just being mine last one, it's pretty much a lot of ours, and, you know, we're all going to move on with our lives, and, you know, hopefully we can always reconnect in ways not wrestling, but, you know, that's what the beauty about this is that, you know, we're all coming to an end together, and I think that's what makes it, you know, special for me is that, you know, we're all closing it at the same time. No one's moving on to different things. It's all, you know, at the right time.
Absolutely. That's what it sounds like. And if nobody, if people are confused about Will Brooks and TLD, there was a show called The Wrestling Roundtable. It's no longer in production. But for a couple of years there, myself and TLD were a part of this. And Will Brooks jumped on board somewhere during when me and TLD got involved. And there was like a friendly rivalry that kind of built up between the Will, so to speak, TLD and Will Brooks. And it came to a peak when they started this little YouTube show called The Battle of the Wills, where they both drafted wrestlers, and they had a point system and yada, yada, yada. And people would watch, and these guys, Will and Will, would kind of just pitch at each other and rip on each other. And it was fun. It was a good time. But I feel like the heat has come to a boiling point tonight here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. So I'm going to give you guys, since TLD is officially retiring from professional wrestling, and this is completely impromptu, Will Brooks was kind enough to call in, and I appreciate that. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to have a live mic and cut a promo on each other, and then the rest of the panel, myself, Toph, Jordan, Ryan, we are going to figure out who cut the best promo, and this should be kind of fun, and I'm going to kick it to, and are you cool with this, Will Brooks? Are you down with this?
You kind of put me on a spot here, but let him go first, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
Let him go first.
Okay, I was gonna do that anyway, since he's the pro wrestler and should be good at this entire promo thing. Now, I'm putting Will Brooks on the spot, but I'm also putting TLD on the spot as well. This is completely impromptu. I think this will be fun. These guys have heat. Whether it's natural, whether it's a friendly rivalry, not really sure what it is, but the heat is there. So, TLD, go ahead with your promo.
Will Effin Brooks, first off, I really enjoy the fact that you are stealing a gimmick from someone else using your thumbs and the FN. That's very cute. You know, where someone like me, TLD, has come up with merchandise, a website, a following at TLD Wrestling, and you, Will Brooks, just want to follow in the shadow of TLD. And you tried your very best to beat me in Battle of the Wills. And I'll give you credit where credit is due. You were this close. But until you picked Bobby Roode, and he didn't win at Bound for Glory, you completely sank. And Kurt Angle grew and made me the winner of Battle of the Wills, the only Battle of the Wills winner. So, Will Brooks, as often as you come on these shows, as often as you try to be like me, TLD, you just never can do it. There's no merchandise from Will Brooks. There's no website for Will Brooks. There's nothing. Because people just don't remember Will Brooks. They remember TLD. And on July 13th, I get the opportunity, and you are invited. You have to pay $10, but you are invited to come to and watch because I'm in the North American Championship Tournament. I'm facing one of the biggest men in B4W, named The Beast, opening match. And I'm going to do everything I can to show you, Will Brooks, that if you got in the ring with me, you'll see exactly what will happen. The Beast will go down. I will move on and become North American Champion. And right in front of your face, I will hold that championship up really high. because you will not be able to reach it, son. You'll never beat me. You'll never beat TLD. Thank you.
Okay, there's TLD's promo on Will Effin Brooks.
Who?
The former Wrestling Roundtable alumni are going at it in a promo battle right now. And I thought that promo was decent, aside from the you knows that you threw in there. It was a good promo by TLD. Will Brooks, you're up. You're on the clock. Go for it.
Well, let me be the first to tell you, Will, bravo. Bravo. I'm very happy for you, man. First off, I got to give you credit. Did I kind of borrow the gimmick of the thumbs from LGD? I did, in fact. But not the Effin. The Effin was a nickname I got back in college. And, yes, I actually did want to go to college. I know you didn't. I know you went to some whatever generic community college thing, whatever. You love to, like, brag about shit you didn't do. It's okay. I love to say, I know you're a pro wrestler. You wrestle in backyards in front of 10 people. It's cool. I mean, hey, man, that's great. You know, we all wrestled in our backyards eventually. We all did it as kids, you know. Not all of us find ways to brag about it. And, you know, and you get to wrestle the opening match of your next backyard wrestling event. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? Cool, man. I mean, that's far. I mean, you have as much training as I have in wrestling, but, hey, you know, hey, that's not a big deal. Not a problem, man. I know. I'm glad. I'm happy for you, man. You're trying. That's a good thing. And you're tiring. Good for you. I'm sure you're tired of being laughed at. It's okay. Everybody would. It gets old after a while. I get that. But the fact about winning Battle Wills, I mean, yes, you did win. But you got to remember, it's a competition that was out of our hands. It's not like, you know, we played basketball and you made more shots than me. Okay? We didn't play football and you scored more touchdowns. Okay? You picked guys, I picked guys, and we left it in the hands of the bookers, like we all do as fans. So you won, and I remember I did my gracious, you know, little promo on the round table where I promoted your website. You know, it's not like anybody else in the world could ever have a website. It's not like you just, you know, cool couple clicks and you have a website. No, it's tough work. I know. But not everybody can order a teddy bear with a name on it. And, you know, whatever. Hey, I mean, that's not like anybody can do that. Not at all. Not even close. But I will be gracious. You beat me fair and square. And I will, you know what? And if I have time, if I have $5, I might show up to your backyard. You know, I might do it. Once a day again. I'll figure it out. But, you know, I might stop by. If I'm in town, if I happen to be in that neighborhood, backyard, you know, I might be there. As long as it's freshly mowed, though.
All right. Well, this was epic. Big promo. The first ever promo battle here on PWP Radio, and let's go to the judges. I figure since we've got Ryan, we've got Jordan, and we've got Toph on the line, I will disqualify myself, so we have three judges, and we have a winner. So I'm going to kick it to Jordan first. Jordan, you just listened to those two promos, first one by TLD, second one by Will Effin Brooks. Who do you got? Who's the winner?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love TLD, and I wish him the best of luck after his wrestling career. But Will Brooks, he laid it on the line. He pretty much made a point and made an impact. I'm sorry, TLD, but I'm going to have to go with the heel, Will Brooks.
Thank you. That's one for Will Brooks. Let's kick it to our next judge on the panel. How about Toph? Who's your thought? Who won the promo battle?
I'm going to have to give it to TLV. Sorry, Will.
Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
That's not fair to Flair, man. That's not fair to Flair.
All right, so it's 1-1. We're all tied up, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big moment. It's a great moment in Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And the final vote goes to, and he could be a little biased here. He could be a little biased because he is the owner of Brookwood Ford Wrestling. The final vote goes to Ryan. Ryan, you're up.
Well, I don't know who won, but I certainly feel like I lost having heard both that both those promos there. But I'm gonna go with TLD. I've known him longer. Plus, he didn't say you know about 50 times. So.
Yeah, particularly because you knew him longer. That was the qualifying. That was the decision because you knew him longer. Wow.
Whoa. First off, Will Brooks,
the homerism you got in the pro wrestling powerhouse, man.
Okay.
Really, just kind of judging. I thought it was supposed to be objective. I thought it was supposed to be broadcast journalist here, man. Broadcast journalist.
Dude, I've not beat you twice now.
Okay. Let's
next time I see you in real life, I'll beat you for real. That's cool. That's fine.
Okay, okay.
No.
All right, guys. We gotta wind this down a little bit. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. That was fun. That was the promo battle. And it looks like TLD is our winner. Is our winner. Maybe we'll
do
another one in
the
future. I think this is a fun little thing we did. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. And so, Will Brooks, any final comments before we let you go tonight?
You know, I understand. You guys are all friends. I'm the powerhouse, and I'm still a round table through and through. That's fine. I understand that you're not going to want to let me win and go bragging back to everybody in the round table and say, I overshadowed that. It's like when Vince McMahon brought in some WCW wrestlers, he couldn't let them win. You guys can't let me win either. I respect that. I'm fine.
Well,
okay.
Let me tell you. First of all, the Wrestling Roundtable, I think, is pretty much done. I think all it consists of now is, like, a message board and, you know, I guess some kind of, like, pandering to get views on the YouTube page, which is fine. That's cool. But, I always loved the Wrestling Roundtable. I was always a heartfelt member. I put in some money, time, and effort into it. But I don't think that's really as much to do with how the votes went. But you were great in defeat, and it was a great time, Will. And we'd love to have – and like I said to you, bro, you're welcome to the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse family all the time. Anytime you want to come on board, anytime you want to call in, you've called in the past 2 weeks, and I appreciate that so much. You could call in every week and be a part of this show.
I'll keep that in mind. I appreciate that. Take care, everybody.
You're the man, Will.
Yeah,
Will. Thanks so much for calling in. That was Will Effing Brooks. Hey, Will Effing Brooks is a good guy, good friend of me and TLD's, regardless of what just took place. But I agree with Ryan. After hearing those two promos, we are all losers, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us has to sit through that and listen to both of those long-winded promos. I did, and I instantly regret it. I was just kidding. Maybe next time we'll set it up ahead of time, and it'll be fun. So let's go back to a little bit of our interview with Ryan. So, Ryan, as you just heard, TLD and his thoughts on his match with the Beast, not the first Beast from the East. This is a reincarnation, a different Beast from the East. What are your thoughts about his chances going up against the formidable Beast on July 13th?
I don't know. I mean, that's going to be a difficult match for anybody. I mean, you try going in the ring with a guy who's whatever. He's 6'3", 300-something pounds. I mean, how do you prepare for something like that? Like, what's your mindset? Like, he's got to have some kind of plan, obviously. I mean, the normal strategy for any wrestler is just to work on the guy's legs. But somebody like the Beast, who's so agile and can move all over the ring, he's actually, for a guy that big, he's hard to catch. So it's going to be difficult for TLD. You can't just go to your basic strategy of, oh, I'll just work on the legs. It's not going to work. So he's going to have to come up with something impressive, and hopefully he can do it if he plans on getting in the second round of that tournament.
All right, TLD, your thoughts on Ryan's assessment of your match coming up with the Beast?
Yeah, I mean, Jay, you've never seen this guy. I mean, he's something that, you know, is for a big guy, the guy can move, and that's one thing about the Beast is that he's just a strong guy. I think I've had a couple matches with him before, and I walk out, you know, pretty sore. Some of the moves that he does, it's pretty damaging, you know, to the body, but I've had some of my best matches, I think, with him, and, you know, I have to do stuff that I've never done before. That's just the reality of it, because everything I've done in the past, I've never beaten him. I've never had one match in a singles match. I'm never, ever beating him. So that's why this is pretty important for me to win, to go out there and do things that I have never done in a ring, you know, that I can, show the world that I do belong, that I can beat him and that I can move forward. And trust me, going forward, I got two more guys who I've had a few with, not only this year, but in the past with TJ Money or with Jason Genesis, and it's going to be a tough road, especially that I got to recover from a big guy like that. You know, I have probably the toughest challenge of this tournament, at least in my opinion, and I'm hoping to get past it, and hopefully the fans are going to get behind me, and hopefully they come out and enjoy it, because I think it's going to be a great show, not only just that, but just to see our video packages of other great matches that we have. I think that it's going to be a wonderful show. I'm
real excited, real nervous, but really happy that this match is happening in 2 weeks. So definitely prepared and definitely doing a lot of cardio.
Absolutely. Get that wind. Ryan, man, this is going to be a big show. July 13th, Morganville, New Jersey. Tell the fans listening some final comments about, you know, where they can purchase tickets, how they can find the show, watch past shows, get up to date on Brookwood 4 Wrestling.
You can basically go to Brookwood 4, that's the number 4.com. We have all the information for the show. I mean, if anybody has ever come to any of the shows that I've put on over the last couple of years, I actually ran the 3K wrestling promotion with Steve Carino. I ran World 1 with Steve and Mike Keener. I run a number of shows in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, even some down in, like, North Carolina. If you've ever been to those shows, you know guys like Chris Rockwell and Rico DMF, Travis Lee. Chris Rockwell is actually still the reigning World 1 champion. It's been 1,200 days or something like that. And he'll actually be defending the B4W World title against a guy named Hellspawn. But it's a lot of the same core guys, because I believe in those guys. And I put on a show that I enjoy and that I know other people will enjoy. It's a lot of guys maybe you haven't heard of that you should have heard of. So if you come out on the 13th, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and it's guaranteed to be a good time.
All right, man. Well, definitely get out to Morganville, New Jersey on July 13th if you can, and visit Brookwood4.com for more information on B4W. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
You too, brother.
Take care.
All right. That was Ryan from B4W promoting the big show coming up on July 13th in Morganville, New Jersey. We also have Jordan on the line, and you've got a show to promote as well, right?
Yes, I do. On July the 27th, Wrestling World 247 presents the annual online Celebration Bash. We're going to have interviews actually already scheduled. Guys like Christian York, Chance Prophet, Jesse Neal, all those good stars coming up. We got QT Marshall. It's interviews. We're going to have a few giveaways. I think we're going to give away a Samoa Joe autograph, but nothing big. And then it's just going to be on my website, WrestlingWorld247.com. If you are going and you have a Facebook, go on WrestlingWorld247.com, find the Facebook link, and please, RBSP, I have over 200 people possibly going, and it's going really well so far.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us tonight on the show. Feel free to call in whenever you want and give us your thoughts and comments. We're here each and every single week right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Thanks for joining us, Jordan.
Thank you, man. Take care.
You got it, my man. All right, that was Jordan. He called in before the show even got going, before the show was even on the air, and asked to promote his website and what he's doing, and I felt like it was my duty to help him promote, because that's the kind of stuff I believe in. So final thoughts on tonight's show. How about TLD? What are your final thoughts on your big show coming up July 13th?
Yeah, you know, this is, not only is it just a big wrestling show for me, you know, I do a lot of the production stuff also, and I get to showcase my video work, as you know, Jay, you know, what I do for that and for this show as well. But so it's a lot of things for me. It's just, it's closure. It's, you know, fun. It's, you know, going to be an amazing time. And, you know, I hope a lot of my family and friends come out, but I hope a lot of fans who didn't watch us come out. It's $10 a ticket. You know, just a starting, you know, point for that. And it's, you know, very affordable. It's very family friendly. And I really hope that, you know, you guys come out. And I want to thank you, Jay, for helping us promote it tonight. It was pretty cool. And it's, you know, really awesome that you get to help us out with this.
Hey, thanks so much to you, Will, as well, for being a part of our team. And we appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck in your match July 13th. Everyone out there does.
And I beat Will
Brooks
twice.
Yeah, that was great. Toph, any final thoughts? You got about 10 seconds.
Oh, no, great show tonight, and good luck later this week.
All right, and we'll get back on track with the show next week. We'll be talking about WWE, TNA, and all that good stuff. You can also catch Pro Wrestling Obsession Live this coming Friday night, and I'm not sure if there's an Oh, You Didn't Know tomorrow night or not. We got to get that show back on track. But for Toph and TLD, this is Jersey Strong Jay signing off on PWP Radio episode number 41. We had some fun tonight. It was a great show. Thank you so much for joining us, and join us each and every week right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Keep it real, everybody. Peace.